So during our Be Disciples introduction, I basically closed with the following verses. Yeshua came and talked with them. He said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make people from all nations into Talmidim, immersing them into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, yes, even until the end of the age." And ultimately, what I was conveying was that is known as the Great Commission. Yet as I was looking at verse 19 specifically, I see more than what is typically conveyed. And again, verse 19, "Therefore, go and make people from all nations into Talmidim, immersing them in the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh." Keep that verse in mind. I don't just see the immersing part as being that of mikveh and baptism, but also that of immersing oneself in the knowledge and understanding, the reality of these aspects of Adonai. Yes, I do believe the proclamation being made upon mikveh is important. In addition, the immersion of oneself into this reality has an order to it. Today, you typically see the order modified, where the emphasis is Yeshua, the Ruach HaKodesh, and the Father third. So you're probably asking yourselves right now, what does it matter? If we come to faith in Yeshua and are immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh, we will come to know the Father. The emphasis in the body of Messiah is placed on Yeshua, while in some denominations, Pentecostal specifically, we see further emphasis placed on the Ruach HaKodesh being received equally important. Some will even say, you are not really saved unless you are speaking in tongues. Where's the Father? Today I am questioning the order, not Adonai. He can move within a person and their life in any order he so chooses to do. If that's the case, then what's the issue? The issue is our focus for the next few weeks. Be disciples. Many of you who are here today followed the path I have shared with you. You were first introduced to Yeshua, and your walk was emphasized by his teachings. There is nothing wrong with that on the surface or in the beginning, but the further you go, you will eventually find yourself like Kepha. From Matthew 14, around 4 o'clock in the morning, he came toward them, walking on the lake. When the Talmidim saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and screamed with fear. But at once Yeshua spoke to them. "Courage," he said, "it is I. Stop being afraid." Then Kepha called to him, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. So Kepha got out of the boat and walked on the water toward Yeshua. But when he saw the wind, he became afraid. And as he began to sink, he yelled, "Lord, save me." Yeshua immediately stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, "Such little trust. Why did you doubt?" At some point, when confronted by Scripture, you find yourself sinking like Kepha. Doubt enters in when you realize you are not on a firm foundation, but on the water, and realize you really can't walk on water. To where Yeshua asked Kepha why he doubted and where was his trust. This is what happens to a believer. And I ask you today to remember your journey to this congregation and to Messianic Judaism. What prompted you to look for more? What prompted you to seek? I have talked with some of you where you have in essence conveyed a crisis of faith, trying to reconcile what you came from into what you are now immersing yourself into. You were ultimately confronted by Scripture. You were seeing that there was more. Whether it was in the New Covenant writings where you saw such things as the Moedim, the appointed times, being immersed into the Gospels, witnessing Yeshua's actions in the Passover and Sukkot. Something caused you to go on a search for more. Maybe you want to find out more about the feasts. That tends to be a trigger for people who come here. I want to know more about the feasts. A lady up in Ellsworth who is in contact with another lady that's part of the congregation, she's probably online, basically conveyed to her, well, I want to know more about the feast because there's probably something to learn from there. Maybe just a little. I don't know, maybe more. There is something about these appointed times that are captivating the minds of believers in Messiah, causing them to go beyond the foundation that has been established, where the emphasis has been placed on Yeshua first, when in reality the Son is to come second. Can you know the reality of the Son before you know the reality of the Father? What is the Son's responsibility? Glorify the Father. So that what? The Son will be glorified. There is an order. Can you know the reality of the Son before you know the reality of the Father? I will convey my answer as a qualified yes. Qualified in the sense that you can know the reality of Yeshua and his message of redemption, yet not in its fullest measure, without knowing the Father first. Are people redeemed through Yeshua? Absolutely. I'm not saying they're not. Then what's the problem? I'm glad you asked. The problem is, as I conveyed last week, establishing a firm foundation to where you can not only live as a believer in the body of Messiah, but to be effective in your walk and to thrive. This is where order comes in. I firmly believe that Adonai is all about order in Matthew 28:19. And is more than just a proclamation, but a roadmap to follow. In other words, Adonai established an order. We see this in his creation. We're in John 1:9-10, God said, let the water under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And that is how it was. God called the dry land earth. The gathering together of the water he called seas, and God saw that it was good. He created an order, and to this day there is still that order that exists. The water could only go so far. Thus its journey was ordered. We see Adonai's order in the calendar, establishing when the first month is to occur. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Adonai spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. He said, you are to begin your calendar with this month. It will be the first month of the year. The first month being the month when the Passover and the Exodus from Egypt would occur. I firmly believe that Adonai is speaking to Moses on the first day of the month. Why would he speak to him on the seventh day of the month if he said this will be the first month? It's like, well, that was a week ago. Where were you? I've conveyed that God is very precise. So if he's speaking to him and said, this is the first month. Doesn't say so in Scripture. But why would he say it's the first month if it's the seventh day of the month? So I firmly believe that Adonai is speaking to Moses on the first day of the first month. Because the following verses are in preparation for the Passover that occurs on the 14th day going into the 15th day. Thus, Adonai is all about order. So this is why I emphasize the order of Matthew 28:19, because I now go back to the journey many of you have experienced in coming to this congregation. Everyone who comes here is actually looking for Messiah, for they've already found him and are walking with him, yet they are seeing a different Messiah than what they first were told. When we do things out of order, we many times have to go back and take care of something that we should have done first. Many of you have had to go back and refortify your foundation as a believer in Messiah. This is not a bad thing, for many believers don't do this. But consider if you had followed the order Adonai had established, how much further along you would be already. How much stronger would the body of Messiah be if they followed the order of Matthew 28:19, immersing in the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh. For the challenge of Yeshua's Talmidim was they already had a foundation of who Adonai is. They grew up in the scriptures. They grew up with Torah. They knew who God was. They knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had that foundation that most believers don't have when they're growing up. John 14, starting in verse 6, Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because you have known me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him. In fact, you have seen him. They know him. Yeshua revealed who he is. He revealed the Father to them. Yet Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. Philip asked Yeshua to show us the Father because it appears there is still confusion pertaining to Adonai as Father and Yeshua as Adonai. Verse 9, Yeshua replied to him, Have I been with you so long without your knowing me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am united with the Father and the Father united with me? What am I telling you? I'm not saying on my own initiative. The Father living in me is doing his own works. Trust me that I am united with the Father and the Father united with me. But if you can't, then trust because of the works themselves. Whose words were Yeshua speaking? The Father. The words that I have are not mine, but his. For we even read of the roadmap Yeshua followed in showing them the Father when he would show them the path Messiah would have to follow as established by the Father himself. Luke 24:44, Yeshua said to them, This is what I meant when I was still with you and told you that everything written about me in the Torah of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms had to be fulfilled. What is the Torah of Moses? But the Word of God, the Father revealing himself to the world, to Israel specifically, giving them the covenant and so on and so forth. The Torah of Moses, the prophets, God spoke through the prophets. The Psalms, God inspired the Psalms and the writings. Now notice this verse. So he's established a foundation. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Tanakh. Notice it doesn't say, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant writings. He didn't say that. But what have I said about the New Covenant writings? The New Covenant writings are established from the Tanakh. There's nothing new in the new covenant, I keep emphasizing. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Tanakh, telling them, here is what it says. Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And in his name, repentance leading to forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to people from all nations, starting in Jerusalem. Repentance from sin, where is sin identified? Torah. The requirements for atoning for sin, where is it found? Torah. You see where I'm going? In order to know Yeshua and truly embrace what he's done as opposed to just accepting blindly, you have to go back. Torah, God revealing himself. He established a foundation, an order that began not with the gospel of Matthew, but with Bereshit, with Genesis. Establishing a foundation for the purpose Yeshua concludes. You are to be witnesses of these things. As I shared earlier today, during our Be Disciples class, we are to emulate Yeshua. Thus, in emulating him, we should be teaching as he taught, preparing people as he did. Yet we are seeing a disruption in the order that Adonai had established. We are seeing that disruption cause weakness in the body of Messiah. For a structure is only as strong as its foundation. This is why we are going to further follow the path established by Yeshua as ordered by Adonai. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 70 other Talmidim and sent them on ahead in pairs to every town and place where he himself was to go. He said to them, "To be sure, there is a large harvest, but there are few workers. Therefore, plead with the Lord for the harvest, that he speed workers out to gather in his harvest. Get going now, but pay attention. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." I'm not telling you that we are sending everybody out in twos. But what you do in your community is, in essence, what Yeshua is conveying here. I have something different in mind. Over the next few weeks, two at a time, will be sharing their own testimonies pertaining either to their journey to Messiah or something occurring within their journey with the congregation. We're not sending you out into the world, but out into the congregation. For if you can't share your testimony within the confines of people you know and trust, how can you do so with people you don't know? Haven't decided, and like I said, it's going to be at least 4 weeks. That means 8 of you. We're prayerfully considering whom. We may go longer than that. The point that I'm getting at is, and this is a few weeks down the road, but I've shared it many times, know what you believe, why you believe it, and be able to defend it, to speak about it, to share it. Because sometimes your testimony is what draws a person first. They hear your experience. They see your journey. They see maybe the before and after. Maybe they knew you before you were a believer, and now they're encountering you again after you've been a believer. And they say, "You don't seem like the same person I knew back when." So the shepherd, the teacher, is going to take a step back, and he's going to let his disciples share their testimony with each other in order to equip you, in order to strengthen you, in order to give you a place to speak. So I want you to keep this in mind. I want you to prayerfully consider this. Because as we pray, as Jerry and I pray, as people come to us, we will be asking you. The question is, will you say yes or will you say no? Will you be Moses? "Oh Lord, no, I can't. I stutter. I'm not good at this." Those excuses are going to fall on deaf ears for the simple reason. Recovering introvert, stutterer, person who got sick before he ever did a class presentation. His stomach would do pretzels. all the time. If God can transform me, He can do the same for you. So again, I'm not sure how far we're going to do this, how far it's going to go, but at least for the next 4 weeks, it's going to be two of you. So be prepared. Think about your testimony. Where has God brought you from to where you are now? What is that journey like? How would you share that journey with someone? Because divine appointments occur. And you will capture a person more so with your journey than in preaching scripture at them. Haven't even gotten to some of the other aspects, but I've shared with you developing relationships is, I think, not next week, but the week after. Developing relationships is important. That's where trust comes from. When you've developed a relationship, someone will trust you. They will listen to you because you're not speaking at them. You're not trying to get them saved. You want them redeemed. You want them to have a relationship with God. But ultimately, there's a right way and a wrong way, depending on who the person is. This is not a cookie-cutter process. You have to be adaptive. You can't do the same thing for one person that you do for another. Any parents here? How many of you have more than two kids? Was the second one exactly like the first? Exactly. The point that I'm getting at. We're emphasizing you being disciples. He sent his disciples forth. I'm not sending you forth, but you have already gone forth. We're refining what you do, how you do it. So this is more than just a sermon today. We're taking from paper and putting into practice. I think the fourth time I've said this morning. So pray. Think about it. Because the next call you get will not be from Publishers Clearinghouse. It will be from either Rabbi, or it'll be either from me or Jerry. Technically, it will probably come from me. So keep these things in mind. Because if I do all the speaking and you don't, then I am failing at my job, my responsibility, which is to equip you, to give you a voice. Because you have a voice, but how do you use it? That's where we're at now. So if everybody would please rise.